Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Now, the EU digital COVID certificate is set to be launched next month, which will open up air travel within Europe for the first time in over a year. It will contain the digital proof that a person has been vaccinated against COVID-19, has received a negative test result, or has recovered from the virus. But how will it all work? How do we get it? And with cases of the Delta variant on the increase, is it wise to be even considering air travel at all? Well, I'm joined by Oisin Smith, Minister of State for Public Procurement and E-Government and Green Party TD for Dunleary. Good morning to you, Minister.
Good morning, Claire. Thank you for having me on your show.
Not at all. Thank you for joining us. So you provided some detail to the Seanad yesterday about how all of this will work. So can you tell people today when they will be in a position to begin applying for it?
Yeah, so what's at the current situation is that non-essential travel is not recommended for international travel. But on the 19th of July, the current plan is to reopen international travel at that point. And to facilitate the large number of people going through the airport, there is a European plan that people will use these COVID certificates. And in the corner of each COVID certificate is a barcode. The barcode can be scanned at the airport. It beeps green or red, and that means that you can proceed. And we absolutely need this to be able to get a lot of people through an airport in one go. I mean, I've been... Once I went through Dublin Airport in the last year for a European Council meeting, and it was really, really busy because it takes a long time to check. Everybody's producing documents, pieces of paper or screenshots to show that they've been vaccinated or that they've done a negative test. And it takes a long time to read through those. So we need an efficient system, just like you need an efficient system to process passports or to process boarding cards. And, you know, you have barcodes in your boarding cards, exactly the same thing. You can come up with your phone or you can come up with a piece of paper and that you can rapidly get through. Now, if you don't have one of these pieces of paper, you still can get through the airport, but it's going to take much longer. And it's also going to take much longer as we de-restrict and we say that non-essential travel is again permitted or recommended from the 19th of July. So what we absolutely need it for is for the efficiency to get
okay.
people
so,
through.
So explain to me, if I don't have one of these certificates, how I get through the airport?
So a lot of people will arrive in a European airport from outside of Europe. So of course they won't have a certificate. So they will follow the current process, which means that they go up to the desk, they take out some piece of paper from a laboratory saying I was tested and I got a negative test, and somebody will have to compare that with their passport, or alternatively that they're taking out vaccination information, a receipt or whatever it is from whoever vaccinated you, and that would be checked by somebody in the airport. But it's a lengthy process, and you don't want the airports to fill up with a lot of people. It's unsafe to have a lot of people crowded together. So at the moment we're at 5% capacity in the airport. You know, we're not going to get back to 100, but even if we went to 20, 30, 40, 50, it would create huge queues if we didn't have a system like this. So really, it's all about efficiency.
So let's talk about the COVID certificate system, because we have three different types of certs: the vaccination cert, the test cert, and a certificate of recovery. So how do you go about, as a citizen, getting each of those pieces of information?
Well, I guess, you know, it's similar to what happened with the rollout of the vaccination program, in that there'll be a large public information program telling you how you get your vaccination certificate, and that will be supported by all parts of government. So I think that I have a lot of faith in the HSE's ability to deliver these very large scale population wide programs, to clearly explain them to people, and then to get a very high proportion of people able to cope with it, and also to make it user-friendly enough that people can figure out how to do it. And I think that most of us have been through the vaccination process. They've gone to a registration portal, filled in the information, and found that it actually ran extremely smoothly, even though they were doing huge numbers of people. So in the same way, a new system is being set up for that, which will allow people to obtain, as you said, there are three different certificates, and it's not just one. You can have proof that you had COVID in the last 9 months, or else that you have been vaccinated, or else that you tested negative in the last 3 days. You get one of these certificates and you use it then to go to the destination airport.
So
we are assuming, of course, that non-essential travel does reopen on the 19th of July. We can't guarantee that at the moment. So that's what is in the plan. But looking at, you know, what has been happening in the United Kingdom with the Delta variant, You know, and the fact that the British did have to delay their full reopening by a month, you know, there is still risk attached, and no guarantee can be given about that date. But that's the current plan. And if we don't get a huge outbreak of Delta variant amongst young people, for example, then, and if our vaccination program continues as it is, and if our numbers stay down, then we'll be in a position to reopen foreign travel.
You talk about your faith in the fact that these systems will be in place so that you can get the information you need in order to get the certificate. That would seem to suggest that the systems aren't in place yet.
So we have a system that we developed in January, which is a pilot system for having QR-coded certificates. And we've been testing that on HSE staff. And so I would say that I'm very confident that we have a system that's been developed over a number of months. We work closely with the Commission on this. We connected into their gateway, which allows us to swap the keys with other countries. So I would say yes. I think that we are absolutely, you know, certainly going to be able to issue our certificates by the 19th of July.
Yeah, you see, it's the 22nd of June now, and you're looking at the 19th of July. Will we be ready?
Yeah, it's a good thing that we worked so hard over the previous 6 months, and certainly we. So that's what we're heading towards, the 19th of July. So long as. So long as non-essential travel is permitted from the 19th of July, then we will be able to go ahead with that. And it just, you know, one thing it does mean is that you've got a greater certainty and a greater about the people who are moving through the airport. Once you know that so many of these people are certified with a credible piece of certificate that says issued by a government that they have been vaccinated or that they have been tested, that gives us a confidence to de-restrict.
So when you think about where our vaccination program is at, a lot of younger people who decide to travel, they won't be vaccinated. So what they will need is they'll need their tests, or else they'll have to prove that they had COVID and recovered, obviously. But if they need to get tests, what do they do? Do they have to contact the labs themselves in order to get the certificate to prove they had a negative test?
So we've been speaking to all the main labs to work with them to set this up. And what will happen is that they go to get their PCR test done, and the lab will issue the certificate for us. So they will send it to you by email, and they can also give you a printed sheet of paper.
Are these state labs you're talking about?
No, these are private labs.
Labs.
So if you're not vaccinated, or you haven't had COVID in the last 9 months and you need to get a test certificate to go abroad, then you will have to go to one of the private labs. Sometimes it's arranged through a pharmacy. There's a lab at the back which provides it, and then the lab will issue the certificate.
Okay.
So it's something that you have to.
Will that be a standard issue certificate at a standard price if you need a test?
So the certificates are free, and we're issuing certificates for nothing. So the vaccination is free, the vaccination certificates are free, the test certificates are free, but getting tested does cost money. And, you know, although the HSE does have
That's not fair. If I'm 24, I can't get vaccinated in this country because the vaccine rollout is only up to registering 37-year-olds as of today. And I have to pay for my digital cert by virtue of my age.
So the HSE has extensive testing facilities, but they're set up for public health purposes, and they're not related to travel. And really, they're focused as well. The HSE is focused on determining whether or not whether you have a positive test. They're looking for people who are positive so that they can isolate them and contact trace them. Whereas the private labs are set up for proving that you're negative. So it's a different focus. You know,
but if you're 40 and vaccinated, your cert is free. If you're 24 and not vaccinated, your cert has a cost attached to it, and that's the cost of going to get a private test.
I think if you're young and not vaccinated, there's a whole lot of ways in which things are worse for you. So, you know, I think that's part of the reason that there is such a demand for vaccination.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason that we've ramped up vaccination to 350,000 a week, and that we will vaccinate the entire population during the summer.
The other thing you might do, the 24-year-old, you might go to your GP and say, gosh, I've got a terrible cough and I'm, you know, my breathing isn't great. Can I get a test, please? And then you'll get your test for free.
So in order to get a test certificate, it must be you must have been tested by a private lab. So the HSC is not going to provide.
Oh, test so the lab. All right. Okay. So even if you get a test through your GP because you you were close contact, you cannot use that for your digital cert.
Exactly. Yes. It has to be a private test. So that's how the system is. That's how the system is set up, or that's what the policy is. Is that the HSC has decided that its resources have to be focused on public health and on protecting people from the pandemic, and that they're not going to use their testing resources to test people for foreign travel.
Is the other aim of that to prevent unvaccinated people from dissuade them from travelling?
I know there isn't a nefarious aim or a hidden goal.
But it would make sense. No. I mean, it might be a good thing to do to dissuade people who haven't been vaccinated from travelling.
Well, what the policy is that on the 19th of July, if everything is fine, then non-essential travel will be recommended or permitted again. So there's no sense that we're telling people not to travel if they're... You know.
Minister, I have a couple of questions from listeners. Can fully vaccinated Irish citizens travelling from England who were vaccinated in the UK, can they get the digital COVID certificate?
Are they British citizens?
They're Irish citizens.
So Irish citizens will be able to get a certificate wherever they were vaccinated. So if they were vaccinated in Northern Ireland or whatever, that they can apply to have a vaccination certificate.
Even if they're in England,
and the same thing for non-Irish citizens who are resident in Ireland can also ask for, if they get vaccinated here, can get a vaccination certificate.
But I suppose Brexit has further complicated this, hasn't it, for people who are resident in England,
there are ongoing. Ongoing talks with the UK to try to get the common travel area working again. Clearly, we've got a problem with the Delta variant, of course, but what we would like is that we can get the common travel area working. And I know that the British are working on a system which is similar to the COVID certificate, because they want to obviously be able to travel around Europe and travel to Ireland as well.
So has the UK then agreed to issue the EU digital COVID certificate, or are you getting it from an EU state? Are you getting it from Ireland if you're living in Northern Ireland?
So the British are working on their own system, which is not they're not taking part in the EU digital certificate. However, they are working on their own system, which you know needs to be compatible with everybody else's system to work. Did you have a specific question about people in Northern Ireland or?
Exactly. Yeah. If I'm in Northern Ireland or indeed in any part of the UK, what am I getting? Am I getting the EU certificate or am I getting something else?
Well, if you're an Irish citizen, we can get you a certificate. If you're a British citizen, you'll be going to the British state and asking them to issue you with the type of certificate that the British, with the system that the British come up with for travel.
And we'll accept that here for travel into Ireland.
Yes, when we've agreed it, when we've negotiated, we will, yeah.
Okay, another one then from Rory. Can the Minister clarify the position with PCR tests on both outward and return journeys for fully vaccinated people?
Yeah, so I think this is something that came up. It's a misunderstanding. You don't need to get a PCR test to leave the country. So I think people thought they needed to get tested to leave Ireland, but you don't. You're going to need a PCR test to enter a foreign country, and you're going to need another one to return to Ireland. So they're two separate things. Once 19th of July comes along, then you can make do with a vaccination cert alone.
Okay, the vaccination is enough. What happens if you're on holidays, that country's status changes, there could be a spike in cases or a new variant identified?
Yeah.
You know, if someone goes abroad this summer, do they have any guarantee that they won't get stuck where they are?
No, they've no guarantee they won't get stuck. And I guess it's like any medical emergency. If you went abroad to Portugal and then you contracted coronavirus on your holiday, or one of your children did, then clearly you would have to stay there. You can't get on an airplane and go through an airport. And regardless of certificates or anything, you simply can't travel if you get sick when you're away, particularly with a highly infectious disease. You can't get on a plane. So there's an element of risk attached to moving to another country, because the rules may change. And although the plan is to reopen Europe for free movement on the 19th of July, there could be a variant in any one country. And there is a provision for what they're calling an emergency break, where the rules get changed suddenly because one country is experiencing a spike of a particular variant. So there is risk attached to traveling, and it would just be wrong not to say that. And you really should consult your insurance before you go away, mm-hmm. so that you don't go on a short holiday and find that it turns into a long holiday.
You earlier on referred to the Delta variant and the risk that it poses. And at the start of the programme today, we were talking to Professor Aoife McGlaisett, Dr. Mary Favier and Dr. Dennis McCauley. And all three of them urged huge caution on this plan for the 5th of July to reopen indoor dining and drinking. Do you think now, given what we've seen, this increase in cases and the fact that we have 20% now of all COVID cases or this Delta variant expected to increase again, that really we need to start thinking about pressing the pause button on that plan?
Well, I think the government has been very cautious in reopening over the last 6 months. And I think generally it has been going really well. I think they've got the balance right, that the number of cases has stayed down and yet society has greatly opened since then. And every week we are becoming more and more protected. So 350,000 more vaccines being issued every week makes us safer and safer. But there is no guarantee that on the 5th of July we're going to reopen indoor dining. I mean, and it is certainly under review. Everything is under review. That's a sort of a standing issue on every cabinet meeting every week. So certainly I think that the words of caution should be heeded, and we're being careful. And at the same time, however, we have managed a constant, steady reopening of society, and that will continue.
And with Delta in mind, are we going to be increasing checks on incoming arrivals who may have to self-isolate when they return? Because only 10% of people we know are being checked at the moment.
That we should increase the checks on people who are entering the airport. Sorry, say that to me again, Clara.
So you know people who have to self-isolate when they arrive in Ireland.
Yeah.
We're only checking 10% of those people are actually doing that. Now, given where we are with Delta, maybe the horse is already bolted, who knows? But do you think it might be wise to increase the checks on those incoming arrivals?
I think we need to be very cautious and make sure, you know, incoming travel, and particularly incoming travel from the UK, becomes more of a risk when there are variants of concern at play. You have the Delta variant at the moment. I know that the cabinet increased the restrictions on travel from the UK, and I think that'll be kept under review. And I think that at every cabinet meeting they'll be considering whether or not they should make the restrictions tighter.
It was the Sunday Independent that had the figures that 10% of the 37,000 people suspected of failing to quarantine at home after arriving overseas from February. That was figures from the Sunday Independent.
I haven't validated that number.
The other thing I wanted to ask you about is the ransomware, the cyber attack on the HSE. What level of service has been restored? Where are we at with all of that?
So all of the major systems have been brought back. They've got 2,000 systems. I gather that they're roughly only half of them have been brought back. But the ones that have been brought back, they concentrated on the most important or the most critical ones first. So, you know, things like radiology and patient administration systems and oncology and so on were all brought back online. It's a huge job. They've an operation center out in City West working on it, but there is huge devastation to the network. And I think it's a real lesson that, you know, we got our key back and we were able to unlock all our servers. So in other words, we got the equivalent of what we had got if we had paid the ransom, but it just doesn't bring you back to where you were. You know, it's not a magic key where you get it and then suddenly everything's fine again. The destruction to the system has been far more costly than the ransom that the criminals were asking for. I mean, it's been a multiple.
The 20 million.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I think that Paul Reid has mentioned a figure of 100 million for recovery. So it's absolutely devastating to have this attack happen, regardless of what the outcome is with the criminals. So I think it's a real lesson, and we're into a new world where these kind of attacks are going to happen more frequently.
Okay.
And the focus, I know, in the HSC at the moment is to make their system more resilient and stronger, protected against future attacks like this.
And any word from those hackers since?
No.
They've just disappeared into thin air, handed back the key and vanished.
That's it, yeah.
All right, Minister of State Oisín Smith, thank you very much indeed for joining us. We'll take a quick break.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.